FNC's Carlson, it's time for the Democrats to accept their victory. Forgive the team they beat and to move on. You won, be happy. By Jeff Poor on January 20, 2021. Tuesday on Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson Tonight. Host Tucker Carlson urged the Democrat victors of the 2020 presidential election to move past the outcome and avoid plotting a post-inaugural war on Republican opponents. Transcript as follows. Carlson, it's weird to say it, but this is the last day of the Trump administration. If you supported Donald Trump, that's a sad thing to face after 4 years. On the other hand, if you didn't support Donald Trump, if you're one of the many in our professional class who have made hating Donald Trump the very center of your life, this has got to be a pretty good day for you. You won. Your party now has control of everything. By tomorrow afternoon, Donald Trump will be gone for good. You've got exactly what you wanted. You should be thrilled about that. You ought to be celebrating. But they're not celebrating. That's the remarkable thing. No one in the Democratic Party seems happy tonight. They're angrier than ever. Instead of taking victory laps, they are plotting revenge against the people they just beat. They are thinking of new ways to injure and humiliate and degrade their political opponents, make it impossible for them to work again, throw them in jail, destroy their lives. It's hard to describe how weird and strange and awful this is to watch. Imagine winning a tennis match in straight sets, then immediately leaping over the net and smashing your opponent in the face with your racket. It wasn't enough for you to win, you had to inflict physical pain. You couldn't be happy until another human being screamed in agony. What kind of person would do that? Well, the kind of people we're watching now, the kind of people who are even more vicious when they win. The leaders of the Democratic Party have now decided that 74 million Trump voters weren't just wrong or misguided. They didn't simply back the wrong guy or have incorrect opinions or failed to see the obvious truths. No. The threat they pose is graver and more serious than that, more dangerous. These 74 million Trump voters are in fact, terrorists. They are a looming physical threat to the rest of us, and we must deal with them in the way that you deal with threats like that, existential threats to the nation. Saddam Hussein, al-Baghdadi, Kim Jong-un, Donald Trump's voters. For years they told us this country have been infiltrated by Russian spies. But now we know it's worse than that. The real threat, the actual enemy, is within. In the end, it always is. 74 million deviationists lurk in our midst. They look like normal people. But, ladies and gentlemen, do not be deceived. They are Trotskyites, they are wreckers, kulaks. We must root them out. It'll take a war to do that, an actual war, a war on our own people. To make that point as clear as possible, the Democratic Party has marshaled military leaders to deliver the news. They're the party spokesmen now. General Stanley McChrystal is among them. McChrystal, in case you don't remember, is the strategic genius who can take credit, if you can call it that, for running the longest losing war in American history, the one in Afghanistan, the war that's still going. Yesterday, McChrystal took a break from collecting fat corporate directors' fees to note that, based on his extensive experience of mismanaging America's foreign policy, Trump voters look an awful lot like terrorists, an awful lot. Quote, I did see a similar dynamic in the evolution of al-Qaeda in Iraq. McChrystal said, where a whole generation of angry Arab youth with very poor prospects followed a powerful leader who promised to take them back to a time to a better place. And he led them to embrace an ideology that justified their violence. This is now happening in America. Al-Qaeda in America. Thanks, Stan. Sometime when you can manage your spare moment from getting rich from your failures in America's decline, we'd love to know exactly what did happen in Afghanistan. What went wrong there? When you have time. Until then, though, Andy McCabe would like to put a finer point on the matter. Do you remember Andy McCabe? He is the former high-level FBI official who was canned for lying and corruption, a model federal employee. So when Andy McCabe speaks, you could hear the moral authority in his voice, gravelly and resonant like cigarette smoke. You're going to want to listen carefully to what Andy McCabe has to say. According to Andy McCabe's considered judgment, Donald Trump's voters are very much like ISIS. Listen to this. Begin video clip. Andrew McCabe, CNN senior law enforcement analyst. When we looked at those Americans who traveled to Syria for the purpose of joining the Islamic State, when you put all those faces and names down in one place, You had doctors, lawyers, some people are very vulnerable to and drawn into that. That poor lie of any extremist movement, and that is exactly what we're seeing now with this particular group of Trump supporters. End video clip. Carlson, wait. American National Security official Andy McCabe is telling us they are like ISIS. Islamic State in Syria? Aren't those the wild-eyed lunatics who beheaded journalists and set all of those people on fire and then videotaped themselves doing it? That's terrifying. That's right, Mr. and Mrs. America. What we didn't tell you before was that ISIS was for Donald Trump. That's why they are murdering so many people. They were the Syrian branch of MAGA. You may have heard it was some kind of Islamic thing. Come on. That's racist. It was Donald Trump all along. Now those people are in this country, in Dallas and Sarasota and Newport Beach, everywhere. They're hiding in plain sight. God knows what they will do next. Actually, we do know. Another 9/11. That's what they're planning. And that's why we need a new 9/11 commission to root them out. But thankfully, Commander Pelosi is planning one right now. Watch. Begin video clip. Rep. Nancy Pelosi, DCA, there is strong interest in the Congress in a 9/11 type commission. Unidentified male, a deep look in a 9/11 style commission to really get to all of what happened. Wolf Blitzer, CNN anchor, yes, they need a 9/11 type commission of inquiry. McCabe, along the lines of a 9/11 commission. Senator Richard Blumenthal, DCT, a 9/11 type commission. Unidentified female, and hopefully an independent 9/11 style commission will look at. James Comey, former FBI director, I think this is a big enough threat. An attack on the center of our democracy that is going to need to look. That spans branches of government, something closer to a 9/11 commission. End video clip. Carlson, well, I think we know they're on the same email chain. But that doesn't change the substance of what they just told you. Did you hear Jim Comey, another noted moral authority? What Jim Comey told you is that what happened in Washington on January 6th, the Chewbacca guy stumbling on the House floor and all of it, that was this generation's 9/11. And in fact, the magnitude of that atrocity begs for a better name. So from now on, we're going to call it 106, that they will live in infamy for all time. Your grandchildren will get the day off from school every January 6th, in remembrance of the horror that took place. In fact, here's a better idea. Let's call it Insurrection Day, because honestly, that's what it was. Begin video clip. Rep. Adam Schiff, DCA, the president incited an insurrection against Congress to prevent the peaceful transition of power. Unidentified male, and then he sat back and watched the insurrection. Unidentified female, insurrection, a violent mob. Unidentified female, a white supremacist president who incited a white supremacist insurrection. Rep. Ilhan Omar, DMN, an insurrection against our government. Rep. Hakeem Jeffries, DNY, the violent attack on the U.S. Capitol was an act of insurrection. Pelosi, the insurrection that violated the sanctity of the people's capital. Unidentified male, this was not a protest. This was an insurrection. End video clip. Carlson, Bruce Willis in Insurrection Day. But it's not a joke. According to the Honorable Jim McGovern, and everyone else you just saw on the screen, this was not a protest. How dare you call it that? This was an insurrection. 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 Write that 100 times in the board and don't forget it. Insurrection. Insurrection. Learn it. Love it. But you should also know, by the way, for frame of reference, what an insurrection is not. For example, yesterday 28 people arrested in a violent protest in New York, not on behalf of Donald Trump. Those people attacked police officers, a bunch of them went to jail. But know this, were they insurrecting at the time? No, they weren't. How do we know they weren't? Because they weren't racist. Only racists can insurrect. Listen carefully to Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley explain. Begin video clip. Rep. Ayanna Pressley, DMA, the threat of white supremacy looms large. And it is tragic that it took this insurrection and this attempt to interrupt the peaceful transfer of power. And moreover, injury and loss of life for many to appreciate just how formidable the threat of white supremacy is. End video clip. Carlson, this is a tough one. So what do you do with insurrectionists like that? insurrections who are also white supremacists. As they always are, but not in here's the tricky part, in some cases, even white. So you have non-white white supremacist who interacts, that's very tough. How do you handle them? Simple force doesn't always work. These are hard cases. You need to re-educate people like that, possibly in camps, re-education camps, if you will. You must deprogram them for the safety of the rest of us. Thankfully, Sandy Cortez has been thinking about this for quite some time. Indeed, since she was a child growing up in leafy Westchester County. Some little girls play with dolls, but Sandy Cortez put her Barbies in a secure enclosure and re-educated them because they were thinking bad things, forbidden things. So Sandy Cortez knows exactly what to do now. End video clip. Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, DNY. We had a program addressing white supremacists that we have programs, federal programs that went towards funding organizations like these that de-radicalize people. And President Trump pulled the plug on federal funding for some of these programs. And so one thing that we know is that we have to get that funding right back up, and we probably need to double, triple, quadruple or increase funding for these de-radicalization programs. End video clip. Carlson, bad Barbie. Bad Barbie. Bad Barbie. Those are naughty thoughts. This federal program will deprogram you. So you listen to that and all of this and you realize the totalitarian instinct is always the same. Always. Only the names of the dictators change. First you strip people of their right to speak out loud, honestly. Then you prevent them from defending themselves and their families. And then because you now can, you force them at gunpoint to read your catechism, to accept your orthodoxy. You wonder if Sandy Cortez plans to make Trump voters sign written statements affirming they have been deprogrammed. Of course. That's always part of the process. The scary thing is that's where we're heading. Sandy Cortez and her friends are no longer a fringe element within the Democratic Party. Joe Biden ran as a moderate, people voted for him because they thought he was. But Joe Biden's victory was really a victory for Sandy Cortez and that part of the Democratic Party. They are closer now than they've ever been to taking control. The reason for that is very simple. There is a massive power vacuum at the center of this incoming administration, the one that takes power tomorrow. Joe Biden is fading. That is not a personal attack on Joe Biden. It is real. Joe Biden is not capable of running the government or pushing back against the radicals in his party. The people around Joe Biden know this very well, and that includes people very close to him, including his relatives. People who love Joe Biden were upset when he ran for president. They know he can't do the job, and they are very worried about what happens next. That is not speculation. They have said so out loud, and no honest person in Joe Biden's orbit will deny this. So the question is, who will fill the power vacuum within the Biden administration? There are still, and we're being as honest as we can be, there are still reasonable people within the Democratic Party. There are people who have a stake in this country, people who don't want to destroy it. And now is the time for those people, the reasonable people in the Democratic Party, to step up forcefully and call off the war their party is planning on millions of fellow Americans, and it is war their planet. A 9/11 commission, blanket censorship, mass arrests, deprogramming. These are not subtle indicators. These are fire alarms, and everyone can see them. No one seems to care at the moment. In the last week, CNN and the Washington Post have called for Fox News to be shut down by force. Why? Because they don't like our views, so we should be banned. In a normal country, reasonable people, including other journalists, might stand up and say, "Hold on. Censorship is wrong. Censorship only serves the powerful." But they've said nothing because they agree. Meanwhile, our elected officials become openly authoritarian and no one pushes back. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser said she would like the National Guard to place crew-served machine guns, belt-fed 50 cals around the city. This in addition to 26,000 federal troops, more than Abraham Lincoln had defending the Capitol in 1864. "But we need those," she said, "because Trump voters are that dangerous." What are the massive infrastructure professional libertarians in Washington say to this? Nothing. They were silent. What did Mitch McConnell say? The Republican leader of the Senate? Nothing. He was too busy attacking Trump voters for being the real threat. Other members of Congress on the other side just tore up the mask completely and launched into open race hate on television. That's not an exaggeration. We wish it was. Here's Congressman Jamal Bowman, explaining that the real problem with this country is white people. They're the threat to progress. Begin video clip. Rep. Jamal Bowman, DNY, but this is a chance for all of us in Congress to sort of begin at a new baseline and stop spreading the myth of American exceptionalism and accept the fact that this is exactly who we are. And this is exactly who we have been throughout our country's history. Whenever there's social progress, there's white backlash. End video clip. Carlson, the story here is not that one member of Congress said this on television. The story is that many members of Congress and members of our media say this on television every single day. Attack huge groups of Americans on the basis of their skin color and nobody says anything. Nobody pushes back as if there are no consequences to talking that way, but there are. How long can people keep talking like that and keep acting like this? Irresponsibly? Crazily? Before something breaks? Before one of those 74 million hunted terrorist Trotskyite wreckers? We keep hearing about become so overwrought and paranoid from watching demagogues like Jamal Bowman attack him on MSNBC that he does something truly awful that can't be taken back and then the cycle accelerates radically and an awful lot of people get hurt. That's where this is going. Everyone knows that that's where this will go. Until and unless someone responsible within the Democratic Party appears and puts a stop to it, and soon. It's time for the victors to accept their victory, to forgive the team they beat and to move on. You won. Be happy. Now improve the country you inherited. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.